B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. Tim McManus at 3:30. We got Joe Girardi for 4 o'clock hour. Joe Girardi will lead it off. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corp Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, hoagie, party trays. Every bit is good. So last night, very exciting NBC Sports Philly replay of the Phils and the Washington Nationals. And I remember the Washington Nationals had Dimitri Young.
Yeah.
That big rotund switch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie Mo Pena.
I remember
that
Willie
big
Mo.
Giant dude.
He was huge. Baseball don't have that many big guys, I feel like that.
No, they weren't very good then. They had, who was that little infielder they had? Ronnie Belliard.
Yeah.
Was on that team. Like, all these names that pop up. And I'm watching the game, and I was aggravated, Tyrone. I had sent you a text.
Yeah.
The game aggravated me all over again. Why?
Because of J.D. Moore.
It's 13 years later, and he still aggravates me.
You don't like...
I hate guys that nibble like that. And that's all he did all game long. Nibbly poo. Changey poo. Change up. I can't take it.
But he couldn't challenge guys. He couldn't throw
by him. I just don't like pitchers like that. I hate it.
They got a lot out of him.
Yeah, they did. Especially in that game.
Yeah.
But it's like I hated Jason Vargas for that reason. Jamie Moore is 10 mile an hour slower than him.
He was. But he knew how to pitch.
He threw the little nibblers. Little nibblers in the dirt, little nibblers on the outside corner.
He's just looking to get 18 outs and get out the game. He's going to get 18 outs.
God, I just hate pitchers like that.
What did he get? I think he got what?
I know he's local.
He got 16 outs in that game.
He served
6 and a third.
He's well.
5 and a third.
He's from Saturday in St. Joseph's. I get it. I just can't take a 70 mile. He threw a 70 mile an hour pitch in that game. Last night.
There was a certain charm to his game.
There was no charm to it.
It was
totally aggravating to watch him. If he wasn't a Philly, you'd hate him.
But how was he getting guys out?
Because they're used to 90 plus.
Well,
here he comes with that slop. They can't adjust.
And he's lefty.
Yeah. Little twisty little soft breaking balls in the dirt. Come on, man. Damon in West Philly. Damon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Damon.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Damon?
Man, I just want to thank you, Tyrone, and Nat, man. You guys have been doing a great job keeping us going. You're creative. This is unbelievable, so I just want to thank you for that.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I watched that replay last night, too, man. We're great with Rollins and those guys. Real quick, Mike, mm-hmm. Yesterday you guys were talking about Willie Williams and the Atlanta child murders, and I remember when that happened, I was a little boy, and I don't know if you noticed, but Nightline, the news program Nightline, was started because of the Atlanta child murders. They was giving us information.
Yeah. Nightline was started by the Iran hostages.
You're right. Yeah, I think you're right. That might have been. I stand correct.
Yeah, right. It was the Iran hostages. America taking hostages.
But I went to college with a girl from Atlanta, and one of her classmates, unfortunately, was a victim of the Atlanta child murders.
Oh, my God.
And if you talk to most, you know, black people in that area, and mm-hmm. I have friends down there, they said the Klan was involved in that, too. I know Willie Williams is, you know.
Yeah, it's Wayne Williams.
Wayne Williams.
It wouldn't surprise me. That's why I'm looking forward to this documentary.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's a crazy situation. But, Mike, so Elton Brand, right? I watched the Sixers Christmas Day game the other day. I was actually at that game, mm-hmm. and it was cool to watch it. And what I realized, I like what Elton did. I know the Sixers don't have the record that people wanted. But when I looked at that game, they had a big lead. And in that fourth quarter, they came down to like four, five, six times just hoisting threes. At one point, James Ennis got a rebound and he's hoisting threes. To me, it comes down to Brett. And, you know.
What game are you talking about?
The Christmas Day game against Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So in that game, they had a big lead, but they blew the lead because they just continuously went down court hoisting threes, particularly in the fourth quarter. And
I get it. But we're talking about one game here. This team finished sixth. So whatever they did coming into the season did not work that well.
But when I look at it, I go back to coaching in terms of how he's not utilizing those players
What players? That's the thing. I look at it and go, yeah, okay, you can blame Brett Brown all you want. Is this team good enough? Are they good enough? Could they score well enough? Could you count on scorers in this team? They came up short. They came up short with that. And they knew it at the beginning because that's why they sold the bully ball defensive concept. They knew deep inside they had enough shooters. Well, the bully ball defensive concept did not resonate like they thought it would. So basically, it wasn't a success what this general manager put together. Now, I'm not saying jettisoning him out. I'm not saying he should be fired. The only question I'm asking is, if he went to the Knicks, would you think that was a big loss? Right now, if you're honest with yourself, you go, well, he hasn't done enough positive to say it was a big loss. I mean, he might have a future, and maybe we're going to regret it. But right now, if you had to judge it, how are you judging it? He's not a, like, oh, my God, we can't let him leave guy, is he?
Right. I think it's incomplete. He may be good. Yeah. He may turn out to be good. Maybe. The other thing that he miscalculated was free throws.
Mm-hmm.
He lost a lot of free throws in both Butler and Redick. And he didn't replace the free throws. That's another way where they scored a lot more points from the foul line the previous years. They didn't score because they only had two guys that got to the line.
His intentions may have been good.
They were.
And I can't blame him for his. Like when he did that, we didn't go, oh, what an idiot. Right? We for it right along. It made some sense. Bottom line is that when you're judging this kind of situation, you go, okay, what was the result? Sixth? They're sixth seed. All right, Jerome in Elkins Park, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerome.
Afternoon, everybody.
What's up, bud?
Hey, you mentioned comedians earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The two movies that still stick in my mind, in which when I saw them the first time, I was like practically rolling, brought tears in my eyes. The first one I'm going to mention is The Blues Brothers. I mean, it just, you know, the scene.
Yeah, that was not funny to me at all.
Yeah,
The Blues Brothers did not make me laugh once.
It's a different, everybody's taste is different.
Uh-huh.
The other one was I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
That was funny.
You know?
Yeah. That's an old weigh-ins. It was the older weigh-ins funny, the younger weigh-ins not funny.
Right, right. Or Chris, I'm gonna get one rib. Can I buy one rib? You know?
Yeah, yes.
But, the Three Stooges, I could, even as it's, a generality, I mean, the fact with the cook comes back, this affluent house and goes, dinner's going to be delayed because of rain, using the old.
Well, it was mildly racist, but sign of the times.
The black
characters in there were always the chef or the cook, the guy digging the hole, Totally, but the Three Stooges at a time were funny.
Yeah, I mean, hey, when the people that were there as far as the house finally wind up getting into a food fight, that was the rebound bouncer,
Yeah.
It was kind of like two other names. Peter Sellers, to me, his performances, were really kind of, as far as the bomb, that type of thing. I forget what the actual
Peter
name
Sellers,
was.
Peter Sellers was brilliant.
Yeah, the characters that he could put in,
Yeah, there's no question. But we're talking about, like, there's a crossover between a comedian and a comedic actor, and they usually flow into each other. So, like, I know that, Tyrone, I don't think Aziz Ansari is funny at all. I don't think he's funny at all. Now, you think he's really funny in Parks and Rec.
He was really funny in Parks and Rec. His stand-up's not very
funny. Yeah, he's funny. That idiot from UK... who I hate, and I don't find him. There's not even a smile that cracks my face. That skinny little dude who's in movies.
Russell Brand.
Not funny at all to me.
No, he was.
I liked him in that one movie.
Yeah, he was good. I thought he was good at Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That's it, yeah.
He was really funny at that.
He irritates me to no end.
He was good at that. But I guess he was okay with Diddy in that other movie. He's playing the same character.
Yeah. All right, let me throw this for your way. Ricky Gervais.
Funny.
He's funny, too. But he's sometimes too aggressive.
He is, but
he's, aggressive. He gets on your nerves aggressively.
That's cultural.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's not from here.
Yeah.
They handle their stuff a little bit different. He crosses over better than most.
I saw him.
Straight stand-up from over
there. I think his humor is very intelligent and funny.
Yeah, he's
I
funny.
Saw him live with Conan O'Brien, and it was insane.
Okay.
It was so insane.
He can be mean, and you're not supposed to be mean.
Right.
Yeah,
when
he
you
is
do stand
mean.
Up, and there's times
he does.
When he's
there's
mean.
A fine line. He straddles that.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be mean.
Now, a guy like Louis Black is mean, but he's so contrived mean that he becomes funny.
Right, because it's like, Gervais, you think he really hates you. I don't think Louis Black hates anybody.
No.
Really.
He's just over the top with that.
Right.
And I can see that. Now, the guy, my favorite guy of all time, he's now dead, and not many people know who he is. His name is Bill Hicks. Oh. And Bill Hicks is really sarcastically brilliant comic.
Did he die of cancer?
Yes.
I do know Bill Hicks.
Pancreatic cancer.
Yes. And I remember I saw a big thing on him, and I actually studied him for a while. And I remember he was pretty sick, and he at the end of his stand-up, he just laid on the ground and clapped for himself.
Did he?
Like, afterwards,
he really was biting, sarcastic, but revealing, like, open windows to society. With his, he was like Louis Black. He was a more sarcastic, clever Louis Black.
Yeah, he was good.
That's what he was.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah, so, but then, I'll go into a couple, like, Steve Martin. Stand-up, not funny. Comedic actor, very funny.
See, I like the Steve Martin album era.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, see, that's what the arrow through the head days.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. But in The Jerk A Man with Two Brains, he was hysterical.
Yes, and he's a guy who has given a lot back to comedians while they say Robin Williams was a drain to the point where if he would work with a young comic, he would steal their jokes and then write him a check, but the person would still be out the lunch when they got on stage because Robin just told him half the material.
Uh-huh.
Steve Martin was a giver.
Now, for the most part, I find black comedians funny. However, there are two that I don't find funny at all.
All right.
And that would be George Wallace.
Okay.
And Patrice O'Neill.
Patrice O'Neill, the late Patrice O'Neill.
Yes.
He was hit or miss for me.
Mm-hmm.
George Wallace, I did not find. I do not find overly funny.
You're on the same page then with that.
Yeah, him and Steve Harvey were the two big roommates for Seinfeld.
Oh, really? Now you think Steve Harvey's funny?
His stand-up is funny.
I thought in the Kings of Comedy he was funny.
He was the funniest.
He wasn't funnier than Bernie Mac.
Oh, no. All right. But he also did a lot more material because he had to go between.
I didn't find Cedric the Entertainer funny at all in that.
I didn't find him funny
at all. I thought DJ Hughley was funny and not Cedric the Entertainer.
That was, to me, the only time D.L. Hughley was funny. That era.
So you don't think he's funny?
I do not think he's funny.
Okay.
But that era of him, like, he had an era. Uh-huh. And I think he was working with Chris Rock and different people. I think sometimes funny rubs off. That era was funny, about a 2-year span. Outside of that, I don't think he's funny at all.
Okay. All right, let's go Frank and Brookhaven. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
How you doing?
What's up, Frank?
Long time, first time. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
Really appreciate you guys. Two things. Godfather of comedy, Richard Pryor.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. He was incredible. He started all these guys off.
Yeah, he did. And he was totally funny. But like, I can't get past Eddie as the all-time guy.
Yeah, they're all awesome. Yeah. They're both awesome. They really are. Then just a couple things about the Phillies game last night. That was a team that wasn't supposed to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Ryan Howard, who was MVP from last year. And he had, 48 home runs, 145 RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Rollins, MVP that year. And they won the division on the last day of the season.
Yes.
Like I said, it was incredible. Like I said, watching it again,
it was really exciting. I forgot, like, the people just were so hungry for a winner. And that game, they came out in droves. With almost 45,000 people they packed in there that day.
It was nuts. And like I said, they were in from the first pitch, too, which is incredible. Yeah. You know, so, like I said, I really appreciate you guys and listen to you guys. And I've listened to you since we were both young. You know, so I enjoy you guys, and thanks again for everything.
Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. Let's go, Mike in West Palm Beach. Oh, Mike in West Palm Beach, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Your governor finally smartened up down there.
Yeah, it's about time. It doesn't seem like it's any different, though. It seems like it's still, you know, a lot of traffic on the roads, but...
Really?
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, everything's shut down for the most part, but I was just out driving, and it seemed like there was a good amount of traffic out there.
But the beaches are no people aren't congregating on the beaches.
The beaches are closed. Yeah, our beaches have been closed though for like a week or so now.
Okay,
but now it's statewide. All the beaches are closed.
Yeah,
but that game last night, I was actually at that game, and to this day, it's still like the best sporting event I've ever been to.
That's pretty cool.
It was such an exciting thing to be there.
Yeah, it really was because it was a breakthrough. Oh my God, an era of success has come our way type of thing.
Yeah, and just the way the game ended too. Like we were all standing like so nervous.
Well, and what happened? They posted
to go wrong.
Yeah, they posted the score of the Mets Marlins game.
Yeah,
and people went crazy in the eighth inning.
Yeah. So I have two violations real quick.
Right,
one, I work at a grocery store down here,
mm-hmm.
and Tyrone's point about the traffic pattern in the grocery store, I think it would just cause chaos. But working in a grocery store, people leaving gloves and their masks inside the shopping carts and stuff for other people to pick up, it drives me insane.
Oh, I don't understand how people can do that. I really don't. In fact, they ought to be berated. When you do something like
absolutely.
If you're a customer, if you're a worker, you ought to berate that person. That's ridiculous. That happened to me. I picked up a car. I go, oh, what the hell? And there were like latex gloves in it.
And the other one, this might be worse. The fact that Tyrone, I love Tyrone, but the fact that he doesn't know Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Howard's numbers.
He's not a numbers man. For the most part, I'm not a numbers man either, and I only know a couple numbers.
But Jimmy and Ryan.
But he's a big Ryan Howard guy. I would expect that he would have Ryan's number in his brain.
Yeah. All right, Mike,
you got it. Number 12, second baseman.
This is Chase Utley's number.
No, second baseman before Chase Utley, who Harry Callis loved.
Well, Mickey Morandini.
Mickey Morandini, 13, hated him. I hated this man. He was an infielder, and I hated him because a lot of people liked him, and they had no idea why they liked him.
Set up like Tomas Perez.
No, you're getting close, though. You're getting close. Starter. This guy started.
Who did you hate? Holland?
Freddie Galvez.
Oh, yeah. That was the most controversial moment in 97.5 history, where one unnamed 97.5 The Fanatic host suggested that we give him a standing ovation when he returned.
Yes, and that was one Rob Motti.
Well,
I'll put his name out there.
That was very controversial.
Yeah, Rob Motti was a big Freddie Galvez guy.
Big.
All right, so number 17, a much hated but very good third baseman.
Hated but good.
Scotty Rowland.
Oh yeah, that was my favorite veteran stadium moment when he sat out Scott Rowland.
Yes, he was at Scott Rowland.
I go there. He needed his Sunday off. I'm there.
Yes,
and he decides to sit out. Uh-huh. And then they try to do a thing where come to the top uh-huh. and stuff to wave to the people. Very reluctant for him to even tip the cap to the folks that all showed up on Scott Rowland uh-huh. day for him.
Yes,
not a fan of him.
Number 24 was a catcher, modern day good numbers catcher. Never appreciated here.
Lieberthal?
That's correct. Mike Lieberthal. All right, now 26.
I don't know any numbers. I don't know any numbers for baseball players.
Matt, 26.
26? Come on, Ty.
I know no baseball numbers.
Ty.
I don't know any.
Here's the way it should go in your brain.
I know none.
6, 26, 11.
Nah.
Come on, man.
I don't know any baseball numbers because I don't need them. Baseball players shouldn't wear numbers.
Chase up.
You are the man.
Yeah,
he's not the man either.
Two more.
Also overrated.
Stop it.
28.
Stop it.
Right fielder. Well, one of the, I thought, underrated producers. I liked him. Liked his swing.
You liked him?
Yeah, I liked him.
So it can't be a Brave because you didn't like a Brave.
I like the ferocious way he attacked a baseball.
Who swung really hard? I don't know.
Jason Worth.
Oh, yeah. You did. Jason Worth was underrated. Now he's underrated.
Yes. And finally, number 29, that portly first baseman.
The portly first baseman.
Portly first baseman was a fan favorite.
About Kruk?
Yeah, that's right.
Portly.
Krucky.
He was a
portly first baseman. First sacker.
Yeah, that was the weird thing. Watching baseball, I never understood the reason for numbers because I never got it. Like, I never learned baseball numbers. I never needed them.
Yeah.
The only sport I need numbers.
Very interesting. Listen,
football, I'm
with you. There'd be maybe 10 guys that I could tell you their numbers.
Yeah, I would
like Schmidt's 20, Boas 10, Rollins is 11, Utley's 26, Ryan Howard's 6.
Like, I don't know.
Darren Dalton's 10.
Like, I don't know what Holiday's number was. I know Holiday.
Right.
But I don't know his number.
Well, you don't. I mean, it's easier.
So, 31?
I never knew.
What was he? I don't even know it either.
Yeah, I never knew.
Well, 34.
34, yeah.
I never knew baseball numbers. Now, Griffey's my favorite, maybe my favorite athlete. I have no clue what number he
really
was. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Marty in New York. Marty, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Marty.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Marty?
Boy, bring back a lot of memories. One Philly game I saw the other night, it was my most hated Philly of all time. Do you remember a center fielder, Ben Revere?
Oh, I hated him. I had a nickname for him.
Oh, my God.
I had a nickname for him. Little Benny Dribbler.
Yep. he batted 290.
Yeah.
And a 300 on base percentage. He only walked about 20 times, and he couldn't throw any of the from the outfield.
He was like the outfielder version of Jamie Moyer for me.
Oh, my God. It was brutal. Anything in the gap was an automatic double for the hitter.
Little Benny Dribbler.
Yeah, and a couple of movies I want to hit you with, and a couple of comedians. Animal House, John Belushi.
Yeah. Funny on Saturday Night Live. He didn't take me over the wall.
Uh-huh. And how about the crazy comedian, the late Sam Kinison?
I hated him.
Uh-huh.
Hated him. It was the yell factor.
Yeah.
All right, I got
he
you.
He was good in the school with Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about Brett Brown.
Uh-huh.
Were you surprised that J.J. Redick and Jimmy Butler came out with that podcast really detrimenting Brett Brown?
Was I surprised? Well, I'm surprised anything Jimmy Butler does. No.
Hell no.
Really. I thought Redick was a little bit of a weasel in that, but I can see what he's trying to do. It's his own damn podcast. He's leading Jimmy Butler down a path where he can get entertainment out of it.
Oh, absolutely. And then Jimmy just couldn't, just kept saying that Ben had the ball all the time and he was the go-to man. Then all of a sudden at the end of the season, he gives me the ball and he wants me to, do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Jimmy has an excuse for everything he does that makes him look good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
but that said, I still miss him.
Yeah, sure.
I would have had him back.
Oh, no question about that.
All right,
brother. Thanks.
You got to appreciate the call. All right. Coming up in 5, we'll talk to Tim McManus about some Eagle issues right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
3:30-ish. Tim McManus coming up in a couple minutes. It's time for the Twitter poll update, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eggenhoff. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,400 votes on today's poll. Should the Sixers let Elton Brand go to the Knicks if he wants to? 73% say yes, 27% say no.
All right. Not a lot of support for Elton. Well,
Yeah,
I think he would understand it.
Yeah, it's incomplete.
Yeah, he's a very logical guy. He probably knows he's not the most popular dude right now.
Yeah, and he also knows that 6 seed is not what anybody was calling for. Now, his counter might be, hey, once they got in the playoffs, they'd have made a run, and maybe he's right. Problem is, no playoffs to prove it. So.
Yes. All right. Anyway, during this global pandemic, many of us are fortunate enough to stay home and out of harm's way. However, There are those on the front lines who help keep our community a safer place day in and day out. And we talked about them yesterday. The doctors, the nurses, the educators, the custodians, they are your health heroes. Now, how many health professionals are putting themselves in harm's way to help other people? It's uncanny the danger they're putting themselves into, and they do it every day. So if there's a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize, recognize them. Go to 975thefanatic.com. Do it right now and nominate the health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen on air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Every health hero we highlight will receive a $50 Dunkin' gift card. We are all in this together. All right, we have the NFL draft still coming our way. I don't know. I got to get this straightened out. Goodell is going to be broadcasting somewhere remote, right? Where is he going to be?
His home.
He's going to be broadcasting from his home.
Yes, now he got a big house, and I guess they're going to set something up. But, yeah, he's supposed to be doing
okay,
that.
Okay, so what then? All right, we'll ask Tim McManus, who joins us. He covers the Eagles, of course, for ESPN.com. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Timmy, how are we making out today?
All good, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. They got a lot of things to talk about. First of all, let's get this draft thing settled. Now, Goodell's going to be broadcasting remotely from his home. What is then happening in Vegas?
That's a good question. I don't know that they have all the details ironed out, but basically a lot of it is going to be, or seemingly all of it is going to be virtual, where you have, Zoom, a lot of people are using that right now, and I think there's going to be some kind of element of that where you have the different players available to you by video. And I think that's mostly how it's going to roll. So I'm not exactly sure what function Vegas is going to hold. We know already that the outside events surrounding the draft in Vegas have already been canceled. So they really are kind of limited in their options in terms of what they have to do. And obviously, number one is to keep everybody at home and safe. And so there probably won't be too many gatherings going on around the draft.
There are a lot of people that are looking at the NFL with slanted eyes in that they seem not to, I'm sure behind the scenes they do, but outwardly it's like, we're going to start the season on time and we're going to still have the NFL draft. And it's like they proceed without the caution that other sports proceed with. What's the explanation for that in your mind?
I think to this point, the things that, where they are in their calendar is that there are events that, you don't necessarily need to gather for. So I think they're kind of unique in that way. Like, you can do free agency and provide kind of the distraction that maybe some people need during that time and the draft as well. But I think that if they need to be sensitive to the circumstances and not push against the wind here. I mean, and I think that's particularly true. Like, we've been hearing about, some projected, numbers here when it comes to fatalities and what's it going to look like in a week, in 2 weeks, what's the circumstance going to be in the country. And, so I think they absolutely need to be sensitive to that and to the surroundings, and definitely to, we're starting the season on time, because nobody can say with certainty right now what it's going to look like in a week, let alone what it's going to look like in September. So I think for now, doing these kind of things where maybe it does give people a little bit of entertainment in a very difficult time is okay. But knowing that they're going to have to, be able to change course and number one, keep, perspective about what's going on here.
You've been covering the NFL for a while now. How detrimental is this? Let's keep the draft the way it is and not allow the teams to meet with these people face-to-face and all that stuff. How much do you believe it is going to affect these organizations?
I think a good amount. I mean, the one benefit or equalizer is that everybody is on the same playing field. And so, the restrictions that one team has, the rest of the teams in the league have. Really, I think a lot of it is going to be these unknowns that they would have been able to check the boxes of pre-draft, whether it's, rechecking for a medical, being able to bring somebody into your building, having those types of visits, or guys that didn't run at the combine that were going to run at their pro day, and now they don't have the opportunity to do that, so you don't have those numbers. And you don't have the medical, you're not feeling quite as good about the medicals on some guys. And so that's going to have a big effect, I think, on the way that teams select in this draft. You know, there was one agent who I spoke to recently who projected that, you know, normally it's like, you know, 200 out of 250 or whatever the number is of guys who are at the combine get selected. And now there's this thought that it's going to be like, if you didn't participate in the combine, you have a real long shot of getting drafted. You know, so that's kind of the way that these things are getting shaped is they don't have all the information that they have are used to having access to.
You know, I'm thinking of like these outlandish ways that NFL teams can ask guys that are on that kind of a bubble. Are you hearing any stories about, hey, I want you to Facebook Live yourself running 40. I want to see, like, bring a friend out to an outdoor field, just you and him. You stay at least 6 feet away from him, and you video the guy, and we'll see it live.
No, I mean, that's a good point. I haven't heard of that story specifically, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, more of the stories that you're hearing is that you're having, you know, these virtual meetings with teams going on around the league instead of having the face-to-face where they're doing all of these interviews. And, you know, and Howie Roseman, as an example, on his recent conference call has stressed sort of the importance of the work that the scouts continue to do. And they're digging even further than they've dug before because they don't have the traditional methods of getting to this information. You know, I also think, like, we just got off the conference call with Darius Slay. And he was talking about, you know, how tough it's going to be for players who usually train like really hard for a month and a half in order to be ready for training camp. And now because these gyms are closed, they don't have access to it. So there's all these different wrinkles that's kind of complicating the process across the NFL.
All right. So now, you did a great piece on Zach Ertz. And, you know, we had him last week. He's in a very interesting spot, as you point out in your story, with this Goddard thing hanging over the heads when they both become eligible for a contract extension. Well, are you suggesting that the Eagles might pull the trigger and move him? Or, like, what do you think happens here? This is new Howie world now, which is closely related to old Joe Banner world.
They're in an interesting spot, I think, with Ertz. And, you know, the reporting that I've done suggests that they had contract talks with Ertz in November, the same time that Lane Johnson got a new deal, the same time that Brandon Brooks got a new deal, and they weren't able to come to terms with Ertz. And those talks have gone silent since. They haven't had any talks about financials since that time. And so what's going on? And this is all with kind of the backdrop of there's going to be a new market established very soon for tight ends, because there's guys like Travis Kelce and George Kittle that are coming up for new deals, and they are going to really reshape this market. And, you know, there is some logic to the idea that you want to get Ertz in now if you want to keep them long term before those guys sign their deals, because obviously if those number goes up, then the expectation for what Ertz is going to get goes up. And yet they haven't had those talks yet. I don't think, Mike, that they're looking to deal him now. All indications that I have is that Ertz is very much in the plans for 2020. I think that they want to have that 1-2 combo with Dallas Goedert. They recognize what Ertz means to this offense. They recognize what he means to Carson Wentz. And when you're looking to enhance your offense, you don't go and take the number one receiving target out of it, you know, in order to do that. So I think that Ertz is here for now. But I think if these contract costs continue to not progress, and it goes into and through the 2020 season this way, then all of a sudden you're getting to a spot that's like, all right, well, what are they thinking here? Because Goddard is coming up eligible for his contract at the end of the year, and he's going to want to have, you know, a spot as the number one tight end. He's going to want to have, you know, be compensated well, and then are you paying both of those guys at that position, which some people don't consider maybe a premium position. So all this is to say there's nothing definitive with what's going to happen with Ertz, but certainly intrigue given the current situation.
All right, we'll have to wait and see what's going on there. Last thing, I know there's a conference call with Darius Slay. You were on today. How did he come off?
He came off like a guy who has a lot of swagger. That was clear. He got asked about what has been perceived as a down 2019 season, and he pushed back on that pretty strongly, saying that he thought he had a great year, said he played frickin' fantastic, and said that maybe the fans, judging by numbers, didn't think that he did all that well. But when you turn on the tape, it shows a different story, and that coaches all around the league would like to have him on his team. I mean, so that was definitely you know, evident, like, hey, you know, this is who I am. This is the confidence that I bring to the table. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And also he said, when asked about trailing the number one wide receiver, that he's open to doing whatever Schwartz wants to do, but he often asks to have that assignment because, as he put it, he wants the game on him. You know, so I think it gave at least a little bit of a window into the attitude that this guy is going to bring to that defense, that he's going to bring to the secondary. You know, definitely a confident guy who wants to take ownership back there and wants to be put in tough spots to help
the team. I like the attitude. Just don't get burned, Darius, because it'll flip like that. All right. So the last thing is the draft, and you're hearing anything on what they would like to do? A lot of people speculating they're going to stay at 21. They're going to trade back. They're going to trade up. Well, what in your heart you think happens here?
I mean, there is definitely an opinion out there that they're going to move up for a wide receiver. It doesn't mean that's definitely the way that it's going to go, but there's some people who believe that. I mean, that's just a fact. But that doesn't mean that's what they're going to do. But I think that, you know, signs are pointing to a wide receiver. And if you want to get one of the top three guys, like if you want Ruggs, you're going to have to move up, and maybe somewhat substantially for it. If not, if you're sitting at number 21, then maybe a guy like Jefferson falls to you. You know, a guy like Brandon Ayuk, I think, is a type of player that they would be interested in. And so I'm still feeling wide receiver. And, you know, if I saw a trade flash across the screen that the Eagles have moved up, you know, that wouldn't surprise me at all later this month.
All right, Timmy, good stuff. We will talk to you up the road. See ya.
My brother. Thank you.
All right, be safe. Tim McManus, Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Joe Girardi will join us at 4 o'clock, so don't miss it. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46. I'm wearing a hat today. I declared every Thursday now. That's the second Thursday I've done it. Cap Thursday.
What hat is it?
It's a golf hat.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it wasn't the what's on the hat. It's the color. So I had the black sweater on. So I had to go black hat. But every Thursday, going to be a cap. Thursday.
Not bad.
For me. That's this is Muirfield Village. That's what that is.
No.
Great, Mike.
I didn't know.
I didn't know what village it was.
Well, I know.
All right, some odds have just broke here. The NBA 2K players only.
Yeah.
All right. You can actually bet on this, folks.
Oh, yeah. And people, apparently, people are going to bet it heavy. There are people dying to bet.
This is all new to me. I don't know how good these guys are, but the odds will tell you how good they are. That's so the favorite
is who?
Is Devin Booker. Apparently, he's got NBA 2K skills.
Yes. He was on Twitch playing a game live when he found out that the league was suspended.
Uh-huh.
So apparently he plays a lot. He has a rep, yeah.
All right. DeAndre Ayton is 5-1. Devin Booker 7-2. DeAndre Ayton of Phoenix Suns apparently is pretty good. KD at 7-1. A lot of time to sharpen his skills.
He hasn't been doing a lot.
Yep. Donovan Mitchell, 9-1.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley and Trey Young are tied 10-1. My man Derek Jones Jr. from Archbishop Carroll had the dunk contest. 12-1.
I think that Beverly quits in the middle of the game. He's most likely to throw the controller and walk out.
Oh, because of his temper?
Yeah. And he's a little older than those guys. He will lose it. He starts leads down by 15 with 2 minutes left. Uh-huh. He's not going to try to finish the game. He's just going to throw the controller down.
Apparently, no Sixers have skills.
No, that's the weird part. Well,
I would thought Ben had skills.
Ben does. I don't think plays sports games. Indeed, plays FIFA soccer.
Oh, okay.
The video game. That's the one that I play. Like, okay. I 2K, I'm useless. FIFA, I might pass out work. So it would depend. Okay. You know, but Indeed plays FIFA, so he doesn't play. And Thibault's terrible. He's already played on NBC Sports Philadelphia. He got his butt kicked.
Oh, really?
He's terrible. He's been doing really good with TikTok and stuff. He hasn't been playing a lot of video games.
Wow.
Yeah, Thibault was terrible. Wow. He got destroyed. Yeah, he's no good.
Well, man, you got to spruce up the game.
Well, he became an expert. He's already like the best person at TikTok already.
Oh, he is?
Yeah,
that guy really became, his videos are, he might have a real future in video.
How do you edit those TikTok videos?
I don't know. You ask somebody.
It's on the app. I downloaded it. I can't do it.
I downloaded it.
I'm past it.
But I don't think it's for me.
It's not for me.
I think I'm too old for it. But I got to admit, these youth have it all figured out. And him, but even beyond them, he's good at it relative to them.
Yeah.
Like, he's really good at it.
Yeah.
Video games, not so much.
Wow. Mike and Redding's up next. He wants to talk comedian. I was just thinking about, what's the funniest about Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy is when they do characters in their lives.
Yes.
Like, Richard Pryor's classic character, Mudbone, was hysterical. Mm-hmm. And I see characters like that growing up all the time, Mudbone.
Yeah.
We used to go to the Elks Club.
You run into guys
the Elks Club. Mm-hmm. So, and then Eddie Murphy, there was nothing funnier him doing his father and his Uncle Gus.
Mm-hmm.
When Uncle Gus would come over.
Yes.
Gus, you come over my house, you burn down my backyard. Why?
Actually.
And then his wife, Bunny.
Yes.
It's like, your wife's a Bigfoot. Because I asked her a question, she said, goody goo goo. and then they tell the story about their kids. I took your kids on a boat. They stick their head in the water, and the and the bleep bleepers come up with fish. All right, let's go to Mike and Redding. Mike, you're on 97.5
to
Panatic. Mike,
how you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, no problem. First time caller. I enjoy actually watching you on TV. I'm surprised Anthony and those guys don't do it. But anyway, I have a comedian. Anytime I'm down, I'll put on old Johnny Carson, Tonight Show, and just put in Don Rickles. The guy cracks me up.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Never did anything for me, Don Rickles. I liked him in Casino. That's about it.
he was good in that. And one thing about just McManus talking about Ertz. I would do it in a minute. If you can get, like, trade him up, get, like, fourth or fifth round, you know, picking in the draft, get a defensive player, and get your wide receiver at 21. Do it. Because Goddard, you're going to pay him money, too.
What are you going to get out of a fourth or fifth rounder?
The first round, the fourth or fifth.
Oh, the fourth or fifth. But what? You're not going to get that for Ertz.
Well, Ertz, he's an all pro. I mean,
You're not going to get that high of a pick. He's like almost 30 years old.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Try to get something for him. But this is the time to get him.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to work. You a Don Rickles guy?
Yeah, I do like Don Rickles. He wasn't afraid to offend people. He had a run.
Yeah, but it was so obvious. His comedy was so obvious.
I liked Don Rickles.
Yeah, like insulting obvious.
I also liked him on like the Tonight Show. I saw a lot of those old clips. Back when Johnny had the cigarettes.
Yeah, he had a good vibe going with Johnny.
Yeah, I used to like him.
Yeah, and I liked him in the Dean Martin roast, too.
Yes, yes.
Like they were kind of funny. But, you know, as a stand-up, man.
I like Don had a nice run. And, but I will admit, his crown jewel for me, Eddie Sherman as the Casino.
There you go.
That's the top. I mean, that's still top.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah, he was great in that.
Great casino manager.
Yeah, he got beat over the head with a phone.
Yeah, well, that was, you know, Nicky's nose wide open. The little guy.
Hey, Ace, the little guy's here. He's asking for 50 grand marker.
Give him 10 and that's it.
That's it. Earl Quarryville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Earl?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Earl?
Good. Hey, just wanted a story about Ryan Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been around softball my whole life, and I know the name of the guy that you're wanting to know about, Flatiron.
Yeah, what was his name?
George Allmer.
That's who it was. It was George Allmer. He was a headline every day.
He's about 6'6", 230. He could throw the ball.
There you go. That's the guy.
Yeah, he was like a world-class pitcher.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's pretty cool. But I worked down at Longwood Gardens, and I was in there one day, and my son got me on my cell phone. He said, listen, dude, the piece is here. I said, the piece, who's here? And he said, Howard's here, and look for him. So I'm thinking, I might see him, I might not. And he works in the gardener place, and I work as a facility bricklayer.
Uh-huh.
So I'm out fixing a brick, and then I'm fixing this brick, and I look up, and there's a huge man comes walking by me, and all the guys were saying, that's him, that's him, that's him. And I just clammed up. I didn't say nothing to him. I figured he might kick my rear or something if I said something to him.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Everybody so he was there to see the floral displays?
Yeah, it's an awesome place. And mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool place.
Mm-hmm.
The other story I wanted to tell you, you were talking about the flat iron pitcher, George Allmer. Well, there was one better. I saw George, and then I saw another guy by the name of Ty Stofflet.
The guy called earlier. It was a left-hander, Ty Stofflet. Yeah, that's the guy that one of the callers mentioned earlier. I think we've exhausted our fast pitch softball talk.
Well, he was supposed to about Ryan Howe.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He threw in. I made a mistake of bringing up Eddie Fainter, and apparently I've unearthed a lot of Eddie Fainter fans.
Yeah.
In any event, guess who's coming to sit in? Well, not to sit in, but on the phone line, we'll have Phillies manager Joe Girardi. Haven't heard from Joe in a long time. Looking forward to it. Stay tuned. He's coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.